From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's the final episode of 2021. We're reflecting and making resolutions, as well as having an in-depth chat on Chelsea. All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Well, hello, here we are somehow at the end of another calendar year and we are beyond the midway point of the Premier League and as a result, FPL season, helping you hopefully end it on a high in game week 21 with me, Kelly Summers. This week, it's journalist and the ever Nordic Premier League player cheerleader, it's Lars Sivertsen. Lars, you knew that was coming, didn't you?
Hello, yes. Well, of course, this was a well-earned reputation, I think. Mach den Ödegaard, get him in right now.
A good shout, actually, and still flying the flag, of course, for Josh King. Anyway, more about specific Nordic players and other players very shortly. We're also joined by broadcaster Flo Lloyd-Hughes. Flo, good to see you.
Hey, Kelly, good to see you. Yeah, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Oh, gosh, we're at that awful time of year, aren't we, where I don't know whether we're saying Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, so just festivities to you all, whatever point of view we're at.
Exactly.
I'm very confused at the moment. Anyway, what should I say to you, Sam? Should I say Happy New Year? Happy New Year, Sam Bonfield.
I'll take the Happy New Year, thanks, Kelly. And some green arrows would also be very nice too.
Well, you've had a few of those recently, haven't you? We'll talk about that very shortly. Well, FPL finished in 2021 as it spent the majority of the year with drama. Let's start with the biggest drama, shall we? Mo Salah, yes, he missed a penalty and finished on a grand total of zero. As a result of that penalty-saving clean sheet, Kasper Schmeichel finished the game week as top scorer with 15 points, closely followed by 14 pointers for Crystal Palace's Edouard after their win against Norwich, and for Jared Bowen, who assisted three times in West Ham's 4-1 win at Watford. Phil Foden returned again with the solitary goal in Manchester City's win at Brentford, whilst Harry Kane and Son Heung-min returned again too in Spurs' 1-1 draw at Southampton. The final match saw Cristiano Ronaldo bag 12 points via a goal and assist against Burnley. But before how we hear our panel did, let's check in with our very own Tom Williams. Listeners from last week will know he sold Mo Salah and said he was going to be watching the Leicester City game from behind the sofa.
Although I started watching the Leicester-Liverpool game hiding behind my sofa, by the end of the game, I was standing upon my sofa as my decision to ditch Mo Salah was vindicated in the most emphatic way imaginable. Sure, scoring points feels good in FPL, but nothing feels quite as good as seeing the player who almost all your mini-league rivals have picked as captain chip in with a princely total of 0 points. Lee Bonfield, Kelly Summers, Duncan Alexander. Can you hear me, Duncan Alexander? Your boys took a hell of a beating.
Well, I would like to add at this point, I too did sell Mo Salah, Tom. So I was in a similar position to you. There was no beating for me. I enjoyed it just as much. Anyway, a big thanks to Tom for taking the time to send us that. Sam, you were nodding your head. That must have been painful as a Salah owner.
Thing is, I free hit him back in this week, which has made it even worse. do you know what? It was one of those things, wasn't it? When you watch the game, it was like, as soon as he stood up to take the penalty, I turned to him and I was like, I'm not confident. Kasper Schmeichel is a great goalkeeper and has always got it in him to make a save like that. It was just an off day for Liverpool. Thankfully, when you are the most highly captained player in the game, it actually doesn't really affect you too much because everybody's done the same thing. It just means if you haven't done it, you get a real boost from your other player. So didn't have any negative impacts on me and... yeah, but it was disappointing.
Let's talk about your team overall then, because disappointment for Mo Salah, but otherwise your free hit went very well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Apart from the Liverpool players, it was a decent return. Rudiger was a bit disappointing to lose that clean sheet right at the death in the way that he did, but I brought in Edouard for his 14-point haul, which was lovely. I had Mitchell for 8 points. I had Son. I very, very nearly, until the last minute when I panicked and thought maybe Butland might start ahead of him, had Gaeta for the whole day of planning that free hit and then swapped him for Sanchez just because I was worried about his ability to start because the finger injury that he'd had in the past and whether Butland might get the nod instead. That was a bit annoying because it cost me 3 points. But otherwise, yeah, a really nice points return from a free hit. I think it increased my rank by about 30%. So yeah, really good green arrow.
Where are you up to in the world now?
82k now. So on the steady climb, made it into that top 100k, 50k coming up next.
Interesting. I remember the times when I felt like I was quite far ahead of you. Those days are long gone as I fall down the rankings and you go up them. Anyway, moving on from that. Flo, you got 9 players out. You did also captain Mo Salah. Your main points coming from Emmanuel Dennis, so reliable, and Manchester City's defence.
Yeah, it's been a frustrating couple of weeks, really. I think injuries and COVID obviously kind of taking their toll, but I think there's a bit of rotation coming in. There's players who haven't picked up points when they've had like quite a good flow of consistency than you can rely on. And then teams all in all just dropping in form. Haven't seen a lot of clean sheets recently as well, which hasn't been great. I mean, we had some brilliant fixtures over the Christmas period, like that Man City Leicester game where you had like ridiculous scores, but it doesn't exactly help from a kind of clean sheet points perspective. So yeah, it's been a lot of red arrows for me over the last couple of weeks. And with AFCON on the horizon, making a few decisions with what I do there, and also just I'm still searching for a consistent forward, which I know is the conundrum for a lot of teams. The search continues, really. I know we're going to get onto Chelsea, so maybe Romelu Lukaku's got to be that guy. But yeah, I'm still on the lookout.
You need a Harry Kane in your life. That's what you need.
You also need a lot of money to get to Harry Kane as well, which is part of the problem. Lars, what about you? 39 points. How do you reflect on game week 20?
I mean, I thought I was having a reasonable week. I mean, there were some assists were ticking in here and there. The sort of Mo Salah no-goal thing was good for me as well. I'm very much in the Tom Williams boat. A great boat to be in, by the way. But just sitting here now looking at 39 and a red arrow, I mean, that's no fun. I think I ended up with no goals for my team. Never ideal if your team has no goals in a week at all. So, slight red arrow overall. Slightly disappointing, I have to say.
On to our FPL mini league. Big credit to the team Rift_07, who despite all of the challenges this week, managed to score 70 points and move into our top 10. A reminder, if you want to join our mini league, the code is 1KIKS7. Okay, so that's game week 20 done and dusted. Some news for you ahead of game week 21. Two fixtures we do have confirmation of being postponed is Leicester versus Norwich and Southampton against Newcastle. Anyway, on to those teams who are playing, and one problem a lot of our panel and many managers around the world have is what to do with Chelsea and in particular Reece James. Well, December hasn't been a good month for Chelsea. Drop points against West Ham, Everton and now Brighton means they've lost ground in the title race and their injuries are ramping up, with their most owned player in FPL, Reece James, also limping off inside the opening half an hour against the Seagulls. Couple that with a tricky fixture list that includes Liverpool, Manchester City, Spurs and blanks in game weeks 24 and 25, and we are left with a bit of a headache as FPL bosses. Firstly, Sam, how are you feeling about Chelsea overall? Is this the time to part company?
It's been tough the last few weeks with the Chelsea defence because in so many ways they are quality players, but the likes of Alonso and Reece James haven't really lived up to the hype over the last few game weeks, particularly in terms of their attacking returns. They haven't been keeping as many clean sheets, which makes holding the likes of Rudiger more difficult. And with the cost that you have to lay out for them, you know, these are expensive assets. You can easily go with cheaper options who have nice games coming up, decent fixtures, but also have games in hand from their postponed fixtures. And at some point, those games in hand will become additional fixtures on the field, which is going to be a really nice place to be. So I'm looking at Rudiger, who I own, thinking, I've actually really enjoyed owning you, but without Chilwell, without Reece James, are you going to be as defensively solid? No, every time, I don't think they will. Every time Chelsea lose a defender, they seem to wobble for a little while they get used to a new system. And so for me, Rudiger is high on the list of players that can be sold, especially with those fixtures. I just don't see clean sheets.
I like the way you thank him for his time, though. I like the way you thank you so much for your service, but on
great.
To the next one.
I've enjoyed my time with you, Antonio, but it is unfortunately time for us to part ways.
He looks like a guy you don't want to be rude to anyway. He's quite formidable, Rudiger, isn't he? If I was telling Rudiger I'm dropping you from any kind of team, I would do so in the most polite way possible.
Well, didn't Frank Lampard try to do that at one point? And he always seems to come back into your team. So he might be back in your team at some point this season, Sam. So always good to end things amicably. We should talk about Reece James because 3.2 million managers own him. I'm one. Lars, remarkably, you're the only manager on this panel with him. What are your plans to do with him?
So controversially, I'm thinking about actually not transferring him out this game week because I'm not. This is bad FPL pod content. I'm not wild about all the sort of replacement options here. And what I'm thinking about is going to Diaz, making it a double city because I have Cancelo as well. But also, I don't feel like I necessarily need to sub in a player who's got Arsenal away and then Chelsea at home. So I'm thinking about just hiding James for a couple of game weeks on the last spot on my bench and then moving to a double city type situation. That's my plan right now.
Is he not quite a lot of money to hide on your bench, though?
Yes, but my bench is very strong. No, you're not wrong, but I have some other bits of little surgery that I would like to do to the team. I've got Mason Mount as well, who might turn into something else. I've got Bernardo, more on which later. So there's a lot of little things. I've got Lacazette for some reason. Like, there's things that needs to happen to my team right now, and I think I can afford just sort of shunting James off to the side, perhaps.
I guess that is part of the problem as FPL managers at the moment. When we think we're going to fight one fire, another one appears and then that becomes a priority. So I do understand your thinking there. Flo, what about you? What are you going to do with Marcus Alonso?
Yeah, similarly, he's only in my team because I had other fires to fight and that's why I didn't get rid of him. So at this rate, I think I'm going to hold on to him, because I've got other issues to solve elsewhere. I need some goals, and I'm almost thinking ahead as well towards a bit of gap in my squad that's gonna pop up when AFCON starts. So I think Alonso is remarkably going to stick around for yet another week. He probably will start against Liverpool. Andreas Christensen also was injured in that game against Brighton. I don't really give Chelsea a huge chance of getting a clean sheet. But at the same time, like Sam said, Alonso might offer me something going forward. So I think just because of other issues, I'm going to have to stick on to him for another week.
Okay, so if managers were to part company, as you sound like you are going to be, Sam, I understand Lars is thinking for why he may not, because he's got other issues, but it does sound like you're going to be getting rid of Antonio Rudiger. Where are you looking, or where would you recommend managers look to instead?
So for me, I am looking at teams that have had matches postponed so far, because they're the ones that potentially at some stage might have the nice double game weeks coming up. Now, obviously, we've had no announcements, so I'm not expecting that to be anytime soon, but I try to play FPL with a sort of more long-term view in mind. So Spurs look like a decent option to invest in. Manchester United potentially too. While Salah's away, the Liverpool defensive double up could be on too. You might want to take a little bit of a cheeky punt on having both Trent and Andy Robertson once he's back from his suspension after the Chelsea game. So there are definitely teams there that are available, maybe even Aston Villa and Matty Cash or Matt Target as well.
And some of those options that you mentioned there as well, Sam, a little bit cheaper, so you can use that money in the rest of your team. Is that part of the thinking?
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, at Spurs, you have multiple options. So if you want to go with the most expensive one and have Reggie on, you can, but it's absolutely fine. And probably I might even recommend it to go with Ben Davis, significantly cheaper, going to take a lot of budget back into the rest of your team. And that means you'd be able to upgrade maybe one of your midfielders, or if you're looking to go with a premium forward now, put that into the front line.
What about you then, Flo? Because not only do you have Alonso, you do also have Edouard Mendy, the fourth most owned goalkeeper in the game. So this is going to be a common problem for managers as well.
Yeah, I've been thinking ahead to that. And I'm a bit apprehensive about playing my new wild card this early, but I may have to do it with the AFCON coming up. So I'm looking at potentially getting Jose Sarr and then doubling up with potentially one or two Wolves defenders as well. Connor Cody's only 4.5 million and Roman Saiz is 5 million. So Alonso is 5.7 million. So I'll have a bit of money to play with as well. So looking at Wolves' next fixtures, they've got Southampton, Brentford, and then Arsenal. So they haven't got a terrible run of games. They've kept 7 clean sheets so far this season, and I think they're a good defensive unit. Obviously had quite a few games cancelled recently, but I do think all in all, that's a solid play to go. They're fairly affordable, fairly reliable, and I think that's a team that I'm going to be looking at defensively for sure.
Yeah, 5 of those clean sheets coming in the last 7 as well. And at some point, Wolves will have those rearranged games against both Watford and Arsenal. Now, further up the pitch for Chelsea, Mason Mount has over 2 million owners and has played all of the 90 in the last 7 matches with 7 goal involvements across those games. Lars, you mentioned you've got him. Is he worth holding on for these two fixtures, Or given the fact they've got blanks and they are difficult fixtures, should managers be looking to part company?
Yeah, because of the fixtures and the blanks, he's definitely on my list of I should probably do something about this. But he's not yet on the, oh my God, I have to do something about this right now lists. It's a big difference between those two lists in terms of where you want to be and where you don't want to be. It's not a disaster to hold him if you've got other things going on in your team. But if you have the opportunity, like we've said, I mean, it's Liverpool, Man City, Tottenham, and then two blanks. It's probably not going to be raining points from your Chelsea assets until mid-February when they play. They have a very good fixture on, which is when you want to get some Chelsea on. But currently, happy to move them out.
Flo, moving on to the final Chelsea player in our focus. You watched Romelu Lukaku live against Brighton. He does look to have found his groove again, doesn't he? With two goals and assists, essentially in 1.5 games. Are you looking at him, or are there better premium options? And given everything we've said about Chelsea's form and fixtures, should we be looking elsewhere?
I am looking at him. I thought he looked really, really good the other night. He looks fit finally, because I think when he'd come into the side over the last couple of weeks returning from injury, he just didn't really look like he was ready to play. But he's looked really, really sharp in the last couple of games. Has been an absolute handful for defenders to mark. His movement's been exceptional. He's been really playing a part in a lot of Chelsea's play. So I think I am considering him. He is just really expensive. And that tough run of fixtures, like you say. But I'm thinking about bringing him because I still think he's going to be the main man for them. And Mason Mount as well is going to get a lot more time on corners with Reece James out. So I think as kind of a set piece option, Romelu Lukaku is going to be the guy that they're aiming for. I brought him in after he scored in his first game against Arsenal, and then he kind of scored a couple more weeks after that and then got injured and then had a bit of a dry spell. So I'm predicting this to kind of be the start of a nice bit of rhythm and form for him in the start of a couple of good weeks. So regardless of the tough set of fixtures, I think it's time perhaps for him to get a return in a lot of sides.
Sam, we're back to that point in the season, aren't we, where we were at some point earlier in the campaign and we thought we were going to be for a lot of it. I remember when we were talking about how we were going to rotate these premium forwards, but we've got Cristiano Ronaldo, Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku all back in form and back amongst the goals. But is it the fact that Romelu Lukaku has the weaker of the fixtures and those blanks that makes him the least appealing of the three?
Yeah, it is for me. And it's a shame, really, because obviously he's the cheapest of the three. So when it comes to budgeting for the rest of your team, he is the easiest one to get in. He's the one that makes the most sense in terms of budget. But with the fixtures the way they are for Chelsea versus the way that they are for both Manchester United and Spurs, I think you want to be investing in either Ronaldo or Kane.
Okay, well, that is Chelsea covered off with a few other options as well. The consensus being it is probably time to sell Tuchel's men, especially given their fixture in game week 21 isn't exactly the easiest. Let's check out the full schedule now. A reminder that game week 21, as it stands, has 8 fixtures with Leicester versus Norwich and Southampton versus Newcastle both postponed. Your game week 21 deadline, though, is 11 a.m. UK time on the 1st of January ahead of Arsenal versus Manchester City. At 3 p.m, it is the one fixture, Watford against Spurs. At 5:30, it's an all London affair as West Ham travel to Crystal Palace. Then Sunday is a pretty big one as Brentford entertain Aston Villa, Leeds host Burnley and Everton welcome Brighton. Then at 4:30, it's the big one, Chelsea against Liverpool. And on Monday, Manchester United host Wolves. As always, we ask our panel to pick one fixture that takes their fancy from an FPL point of view and give us the full lowdown. Lars, we're going to start with you and the early kickoff on Saturday. This one, I think, is going to be pretty good. No Mikel Arteta, of course, on the touchline, but Arsenal versus Manchester City is intriguing.
Intriguing, yeah. I mean, Man City have sort of basically been the Death Star for a while now. They just sort of keep chugging along. It's no stopping them. And then while there are rumors of some kind of unguarded exhaust port, I'm not sure whether Arsenal can actually exploit that. Let's talk about Bernardo Silva, because I think we spoke about him quite a lot last time I was on this pod. Certainly, my experience with Bernardo Silva has been suboptimal. I basically killed him as an FPL asset. I brought him in for game week 16. He was then coming off a run of 8-8-2-10-15 points, 5 goals in 5 games there. Since then, 6-1-2-2-3, no goals and 1 assist since I brought in Bernardo Silva. So this is pretty much on me, I think. But I do wonder if maybe as an FPL asset, maybe we were a little bit tricked by the points at the time, and maybe not looking at the sort of underlying numbers that certainly I believe we should glance at. So I did a sort of comparison. I looked at him and Phil Foden, Mason Mount, Jared Bowen, Conor Gallagher, and Rafinha, who just struck me as 4 players who you'd compare him to. And he's got the lowest expected goals per 90 of the bunch, alongside with Conor Gallagher, and the lowest, one of the lowest expected assists as well. So actually, his underlying numbers, Bernardo Silva, just aren't that strong. But he is a player when you watch him, because he's such a good player, and he's quite active. Like, he gets involved, he has the ball a lot, he's involved in City's attack. But his XG and XJ just isn't very high. So while he does a lot of stuff, he doesn't do a lot of the stuff that actually gets you points in FPL. So I do think, I know there's a rotation risk there, but Foden's numbers are so much better. So if you can find a little bit of extra money and turn Bernardo Silva into Foden, then that's maybe something you should be looking at doing.
What about for Arsenal then? Because City have got 4 clean sheets from 5 and 12 overall. What would you do with your Arsenal players if you own, say, Smith Rowe, Martinelli or Saka?
Well, I actually do currently own both Martinelli and Lacazette. Again, the latter one I'm not wild about. I'm not sure how I ended up there. I do know how I ended up there. I ended up there because I saw him as like a short-term punt for Leeds and Norwich. I think you can kind of hide them and then hope they do something in the North London Derby, and then you got slightly more tasty fixture against Burnley after that.
You're hiding a lot of players this week, Lars.
Yeah.
James as well.
I need to get myself a very big blanket. But I guess the trouble with Arsenal is, yeah, you got City and then they play Tottenham. And they play Burnley, which is a decent fixture, but then they've got Wolves and a blank. I mean, the fixture list isn't amazing for Arsenal at the moment. So I guess one of the reasons I am thinking about hiding Reece James is that I feel it. I mean, this feels like a diss to Lacazette, given that he is a fit footballer who's going to play minutes this week, and Reece James probably isn't. But I think it's more important to do something to get him out of there, to be honest.
Yeah, ahead of the Game Week 20 Wolves postponement, there was a lot of Aaron Ramsdale and Emile Smith-Rowe sales for different reasons, probably, because Ramsdale's been in brilliant form and will start, obviously, every game, get save points. Emile Smith-Rowe, on the other hand, benched for the last 3 and scoring off the bench. We talk about streaky and lucky FPL players. It certainly feels like he fits into that bracket. What are you going to be doing with both of those players? Because you've actually got both in your squad.
It's tough, this one, because Ramsdale I've really enjoyed owning, and I think he is the sort of goalkeeper that even if he doesn't get a clean sheet, you can expect some additional points, save points, the like out of him. So selling him feels not ideal. So I'm looking instead to maybe go back to rotating goalkeepers. I think we've seen so many issues over the last few weeks, you know, games getting postponed, other things that kind of lead to injuries, like to Gaeta maybe, where you then go, oh, I haven't got another goalkeeper. So having 2 makes a lot of sense. Now that we have players like Gaeta, like Robert Sanchez, who actually both have nice fixtures coming up, I'm looking to upgrade my second goalkeeper to rotate them with Ramsdale over this period of time. Smith Rowe, it's a really hard one for me because every week he gets benched and every week he comes off the bench and returns me a goal. And I have a bit of a soft spot for him now. And I don't really want to sell him. But he, of the 2 of them, he would be the priority out for me. Because like I say, I think Ramsdale, you can get around by having a second decent goalkeeper option. But with Smith Rowe, the fixtures just aren't very nice. And as good as he's been coming off the bench, he does seem to have lost that security of starts, which is why I brought him in the first place. So moving him to another cheap midfielder to enable the rest of my team to just have a better bench feels like a good idea.
Yeah, it goes back to what we were saying about before when we were talking about Mason Mount replacements. Although Mount is a little bit more expensive than him, there are some good options around that price point. Let's move on chronologically to the next fixture we are focusing on. And Sam, listeners won't be surprised. I certainly wasn't surprised when I heard what fixture you were going to pick out. I don't think I can quite call it the Sam Kelly derby, but we talked about Tom watching fixtures from behind the sofa. I think I'm going to be at work on Saturday and I'm going to be hiding behind anything I can find in the studio, I think, during this game.
I'll be texting you, Kelly. Don't worry. I'll let you know what's going on. I think actually, in all jokes aside, I don't think this is as one-sided as maybe you fear it is, Kelly. I've got a feeling that Watford will be a stern test for Spurs this weekend. Let's start with Spurs. Son obviously has a fantastic record against Watford. He got 10 points in game week 3 when these two sides played each other. And one of his highest FPL hauls ever has come against Watford back in the 16-17 season where he got 19 points. I think I owned him that game week, which is why it sticks in my memory. Likewise, of course, Harry Kane is back on goal scoring form. And for me, I watched that game against Southampton very closely in midweek because whilst, you know, Kane is back into the conversation of FPL because he's regularly returning goals, I wanted to watch him and see what he was doing on the pitch. And what we saw in that game against Southampton, particularly after that goal was ruled out for VAR, was a real come on, let's go again, building the rest of the team back up. And that is exactly the Harry Kane that we have been missing as Spurs fans. And seeing that come back actually is a really positive thing for team morale. When you look at the underlying stats against Watford, they're not brilliant. He averages just 4.33 points per match. And he's only registered one double-digit haul in the Premier League against Watford. So he hasn't got the best record. On the flip of that, when you look at the Watford attack, actually they've been in ridiculously good form. So whilst Josh King, as you mentioned earlier, Kelly, hasn't scored against Spurs in the last 11 games, he is still a really, really nice option. Since game week 12, he has the fourth best XG and XGI amongst forwards. Only Ronaldo, Kane and Lacazette can do better than Josh King in that period of time. He has got 15 goal attempts in that period. Dennis also has 14. That's the sixth best amongst forward and the eighth best amongst forwards. We're talking about cheap FPL assets. So we don't expect them to necessarily be scoring goals every week. But with Dennis and King, they are regularly returning. So I think they will cause Spurs issues this weekend. Spurs love to attack, counter-attack in particular. They'll let Watford attack them. And I can see there being a goal there for Watford this weekend.
Are you confident Lucas Moura does start this one as well for those owners that bought him in last week?
Yes, for me, I think Lucas Moura comes back straight into the starting 11 again. I thought Dele Alli actually played okay against Southampton, but I think we saw Conte's conversation and his press conference just ahead of game week 20 that he was talking about, you know, the 48 hours. That 48 hour time between game week 19 and game week 20, there was a need for resting for some minutes and some recovery. Now, he took Son and Kane off early in game week 19. Lucas Moura obviously didn't get that luxury, so I wasn't surprised to see him benched in game week 20, but I'm fully expecting him to be back in the starting 11 this weekend.
Okay, so that's Watford versus Spurs. And actually wasn't quite as painful as I was expecting, but you're a lot more optimistic about that fixture than I am. A reminder, Watford's still the only team in the Premier League yet to keep a clean sheet. Moving swiftly on, Flo, which fixture are you going to focus on?
It's going to be focusing on probably one of the games of the entire game week, which is Chelsea-Liverpool. We've talked a lot about Chelsea and how they're pretty depleted defensively. But I mean, Liverpool must be relishing the opportunity to bounce back after that defeat to Leicester and really punish a fragile Chelsea defence. I'm also weirdly optimistic about the options that Liverpool have without Mane and Salah, who will be at the African Cup of Nations, because actually looking at it, bringing in a player like Diogo Jota, who I don't have at the moment, but who does chip in with a lot of goals. And also Firmino, who we obviously haven't seen a lot of this season because of the options elsewhere. But actually, we'd probably expect him to get a really good run in the side while those players are away, as well as Divock Origi, who obviously has kind of been that sort of last minute super sub man, but actually could get a good run in the team as well in the starting lineup. So actually strangely optimistic about a long-term view of who I might bring in, looking beyond just this Chelsea fixture and thinking who might pick up points for me along the way. And maybe Firmino is going to be a pretty good option. He's only 8.7, so as forwards go, he's not super expensive. And actually in the long term, he might be a really good option over the next couple of weeks. And I think also Liverpool's record against Chelsea the last couple of games has been phenomenal. I think they've only lost once to Chelsea in the last 7 Premier League meetings. So I do expect Liverpool to win this one. Not sure about clean sheets. I don't actually have any Liverpool defenders. But I think it could be a good option for me to give Salah one last captaincy, one last hurrah, and then also look ahead to who I might bring in as his replacement.
Is this a good game for him, do you think? Because Chelsea's defence haven't exactly been watertight. And like you said, it could be one last hurrah by going off to AFCON. And we don't see him record consecutive blanks often, do we?
No, exactly. And that's why I'm still going to captain. I know a lot of people will probably be trying to look elsewhere for their captaincy, and they might have already taken him out of their team looking ahead to the next couple of weeks. But I'm going to give him one last throw of the dice, one last opportunity to wear the captain's armband and go out with a bang. Because I do think Liverpool will just be licking their lips at how wounded Chelsea are right now, because I think they're going to be really all over the place. And Liverpool will want to put things right after that result.
A few stats then for a few players we've mentioned. Diogo Jota has 10 league goals, but just 2 bonuses all season. He's only scored over 8 points twice. And we mentioned Romelu Lukaku in the opening section, but he actually hasn't scored versus Liverpool in his last 8 attempts. So a few bits there for you to mull over when you're making your transfers. Now, they are just 3 of 9 Game Week 21 fixtures. The next question, but not the final section of the podcast this week, it's transfers and captains. Okay, so let's hear our panel's plans for their first team of 2022. Let's do transfers first. Lars, you're filling that rather large bench, it sounds like. Are you going to be making any transfers?
We'll see. I mean, this is the thing, having this conversation with you guys. You know, maybe I'm being a fool. Maybe I'm being overly cautious and I should just take a hit and change everything. I don't know. I really wanted to bring in Jared Bowen because I like his fixtures. So I think that's the thing I'm definitely doing. Again, I like the idea of, because I've got Watkins and Antonio, I like the idea of downgrading Lacazette to King to have some money to splash around on the rest of the team. But then subbing in King just before they play Spurs might not be the way to go. So the things are kind of up in the air here. That was a terrible answer. I'm sorry. But in terms of captaincy, I do have Son. And I think Son versus Watford is where I'll be going with that.
What about your vice captaincy, Lars?
I think that might be Antonio versus Crystal Palace the way it's looking now, but the substitutions might happen. I think Antonio has looked a bit sharp again. West Ham will probably score some goals against Palace. Yeah, that seems like a decent place to go with it.
Okay, so from one Nomo Salah owner to another, Sam, you don't have the Egyptian anymore after free-hitting him back in for his 0 points. Sorry to bring that up again. So you're going to go back to your original team. What are your plans for this game week? A reminder, of course, managers do have those 2 free hits, but you wouldn't be able to use your free hit again this week regardless, because you can't use it in consecutive game weeks. So what are your transfer plans and your captaincy?
Well, when I get off here, I'm planning to call Tom up and ask if I can borrow his very large sofa for when Salah plays at the weekend, because quite frankly, I am. Oh, I'm a bit terrified because, like Flo said, I am expecting Mo Salah to bounce back this weekend, and I think he would be a good captaincy option if I owned him. So I will be trusting my main man, Sonny, with the armband this time around. And when it comes to transfers, I, like Lars mentioned earlier, somehow seem to have found myself with Lacazette, which went quite well a couple of weeks ago when I brought him in.
Team Laca.
Yeah, he came in for a hit as part of a hit which brought Son in, and it went really well. He returned great and I thought, lovely. And then, of course, the game week fixture went in midweek, which was a bit frustrating, but hey, it was free hit territory. So now I am looking to kind of go back in time effectively and bring Ollie Watkins back for Lacazette. I think I've really been impressed by Aston Villa over the last few weeks when I've watched them play, and under Steven Gerrard, their improvement has been marked. And so investing in their front man, and in my opinion, he is in better form than Danny Ings is right now. So investing in Watkins is something that I'm looking to do. So that will happen this week. And then there's just some question marks over whether I take a -4, potentially upgrading my second goalkeeper to somebody like Gaeta. Or maybe Robert Sanchez might be the way I go to ensure that I've always got a goalkeeper playing each week.
Isn't it funny, Sam, whenever you take a free hit in this game, obviously you spend a few days thinking about the free hit, and then you have the weekend or the game week when you're really focusing on those players, and then it reverts back to your team, and there's always like one or two guys who are like, hang on, I have him? What was going on there?
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, I'm tripled up on Arsenal right now with Ramsdale, with Smith Rowe, and with Lacazette. That was brilliant. the week of game week 19. And I very much enjoyed that triple up. But now is the time to part ways with all, well, not all three of them, but it's time to lose the triple up, that's for sure. And, you know, the Arsenal fixtures just aren't great. And there's a blank in there as well. So I'm definitely looking to switch out some of my Arsenal players and bring in some other really informed players.
And as for vice captaincy, where will you be looking?
So I've actually got it on Ronaldo at the moment. I think he impressed me in game week 20, looked on good form. So yeah, I think, you know, if you've got premium assets, then they are the ones that you should be looking towards with your captaincy decisions. I'm going some because he has a nicer fixture. But Ronaldo at home, he'll get the vice.
Yeah, nice option. I think I'm going to do similar. Now, Flo, we know you are captaining Mo Salah and we know you're very happy about captaining Mo Salah. I'm wondering if we're going to need to get Sam to send in a voice note for next week's podcast if Salah blanks again to come back at you. What are your plans with your team?
Yeah, I'm feeling smug, but I hope that smug look isn't going to be wiped off my face by Sam's voice note next week. But yeah, I think I will stick with Salah as my captain, hoping he's going to bounce back with a big performance and kind of go out with a bang as well before heading off to AFCON. And then for my vice captain, might follow Lars, I think, and go with Antonio or perhaps Emmanuel Dennis, because Sam just talked up Watford so much in that Spurs fixture that now I'm thinking maybe actually that's the way to go. Transfer wise, it might be a quiet week for me. I've got a lot of surgery that's required because I've got so many injuries and sort of late fitness decisions around Conor Gallagher as well. He's been ill, I'm not sure if he's going to start. And also looking ahead to AFCON, which I know is going to be a focus on next week's show. I feel like that's going to be a big transfer requirement for me, and I'm going to have to make a lot of changes. So I'm a bit reluctant to do too much now with that on the horizon, because I know that's going to require a lot of changes in my team. And somehow, a bit like Marcus Alonso, Gabriel Jesus is still clinging on to a spot on my bench. I brought him in, I think, the first show I did this season.
That's an expensive spot, really.
I know. And I sort of always expect him to get some kind of, you know, appearance with under Pep and chip him with some goals and assists. And he does occasionally, but he's just a sort of rotating curse in my fantasy league team and somehow is still clinging on. So I think there's a lot of surgery required in next week's game week. So this week could be a quiet one for me transfer-wise.
A quiet one transfer-wise. How I long for those days. Well, regular listeners will know this is usually the final section of the podcast, but as it's our final swan song of the calendar year, we thought we'd end the pod this week with a little look back at our FPL heydays and those nay days of 2021. Well, we've all done it, haven't we? Those transfers we have basked in the glory of CC Tom Williams for months to come, or those that we wish we could erase from our memory and definitely from our FPL points totals. Now, we wanted to get you guys, the listeners, involved too. So this week, we asked on our social media at Official FPL, what are your biggest FPL memories of 2021? Some brilliant replies. It felt like a real trip down memory lane. Abu says, when I triple captained Barnes on a double game week and ended up with a six. Charlie Roberts, John Stones' double game week earlier this January. Oh, I remember this. At home to Palace and Villa, 27 points. We certainly didn't see that coming. Then at Dread FPL says, when loads of managers captained Havertz and when Livramento kept giving me points via auto sub. So come on then, panellists. It's only right we ask you to delve into your memories, good or bad. When I say to you 2021 FPL, Lars, what do you think of?
The Leandro Trossard weekend was great. I mean, that I was on Leandro Bossard, as he was called, that weekend, that game week last season. That was very satisfying. But I just think, well, I mean, I tend to go straight for the self-deprecation here. I've had such an awful run with Chelsea wingbacks this fall. I feel like I have to share this with you guys. So I brought in Alonso for game week 7. He'd played almost every minute so far. Proceeded to play nil minutes for the next 6 game weeks. You know, he lost his place to Chilwell. So I killed him. So I kind of course corrected in game week 9. Brought in Azpilicueta, who'd been playing almost all the time. Figuring I wanted some of those sweet Chelsea clean sheets, and he plays either as a centre half or as a wing back, so he should be pretty safe. Played no minutes for the next 5 game weeks. So I killed him as well. I sold him in game week 12, so I sat on Aspilicueta there for 0 minutes for three game weeks. It's very, very well done me. And I moved in Reece James. Now, he immediately gave me a 12-pointer, so I thought, okay, finally, I've cracked this. But then 1 point for the next four game weeks. So just all of autumn, like Chelsea wingbacks were a total disaster for me, even though they are good assets. Whenever I brought them in, they just died too completely, and I just couldn't do it. So that's something that's drove me mad for a long period of time.
Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we, when we've just not quite got the transfer quite right. What about you, Flo? What are your memories of this year, or your standout error, or maybe a moment of glory that you're still basking in?
Yeah, unfortunately for me, the list of resolutions and errors is much longer than the positive highlights. but actually, I do think it was really hard as well to actually remember. I think this whole year has been a bit of a blur, but it was actually really hard to remember who I had in my team last season, bar, you know, the obvious consistent players that everyone kind of has. But there was a really good run where I had Kelechi Iheanacho, and he had a really good second half of the season last season. So between March and May, he got 11 goals, and I was a real Kelechi Iheanacho stan. And I don't think he's played enough this season. When he has played, he's really brought the goods, and I think a lot of Leicester fans would like to see a little bit more of him. So that really good Iheanacho run where he's in my side picking up a lot of goals. Well, I think he was in my side. I can't remember, but I think I had him. Was a good one for me. And in terms of regrets, yeah, the list is pretty long. But this season, start of this season, I went hard on Kai Havertz. He had a really good Euros, and I was thought that he was going to have a really, really good big season, and it hasn't quite worked out that way. So I think in terms of a resolution, I think a big one for me is just because a player has a brilliant tournament in the summer doesn't mean they're going to have a brilliant season in the Premier League. So that was where I maybe went wrong at the start of this season.
We've all been there doing that as well. Every one of these that you're mentioning, I'm going, oh yeah, I know that feeling. And that sinking feeling when it happens to you as well. Sam, are you going to pick out a highlight or a low point for us?
A highlight. I think yes. There was one moment, I think for me, that really changed the way that this season so far has gone. And that was back in game week 9. I actually remember saying to Lee just before the game week 9 deadline, I don't feel very confident this week. Like, I feel like there's a lot of punts in my team and I'm not sure whether I'm doing the right thing. Roll on the end of game week 9 and every single player had returned bar Harry Kane. He was the one guy that let me down that week. So I had 128 points with no chip. From Sanchez in goal with 4, I had Rudiger, Trent and Livramento who got 9, 10 and 9. Salah was my captain who got me 48 points, obviously 24 doubled. Then I had Damari Gray who got 5, Jota who got 11, Foden who got 18, Jimenez who got 5 and Antonio who got 7. And I remember looking at them thinking, I don't think FPL gets much better than that. I think now might be the time I should retire from FPL and just take that. It was a 70% change in my overall rank. And when that happens, you kind of go, that's it now. That's the pinnacle of FPL. And very rarely does it happen where everybody returns. And Harry, like I say, let me down. But the rest of them, it was such a moment. I don't think I will ever have a game week like that. Every time I looked at you know, the breaking news from the 3 o'clock, it was somebody in my team having done something, which was a really nice feeling.
Yeah, the other thing we asked on social media was, what resolutions have you made for the year ahead? Trent, I think a Liverpool fan, has said, always have a full playing bench, particularly important at the moment. We heard Flo say that her resolution is not to get too excited when players do well in tournaments or over the summer and expect them to translate that into FPL. Lars, what about you? Have you got a resolution you've made for 2022?
Well, I feel like with a lot of these, when you ask people on the internet and you look around what people's expectations, what resolutions are, it's like not make so many transfers and not chase points and stuff like this. I feel like with me, it's the other way. I've gotten too good at not doing things. As you may have noticed during this pod, like I have a couple of players that like one who's probably not playing and one who's not very good and his fixture list is very bad. And I'm like, I'll hide him on the bench. He'll be fine. I just stick him third on the bench. And you know, this sort of minimalist approach to FPL is good. I think most people probably make too many transfers, but I do feel like I've gone too far in the other direction and I've become a little bit complacent, really. And I need to actually be a little bit more proactive and trust my judgment to make transfers more and actually take a hit now and again. I've gone too far. And also, like, something like this Bernardo Silva situation, I brought him in. and he's just been, you know, steadily not returning points. And I just thought, well, you know what? He's a really good player for a really good team, so it'll probably be fine. Maybe I should just be more proactive, you know, take more hits, do more things. So my New Year's resolution is very much the opposite of most FPL players out there.
Now, Sam, I think I know what your main resolution is going to be, to keep up your winning streak against your husband, Lee. Have you got any others, though?
Oh, bless him. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me this season has been a bit of a change in the way that I play FPL. Normally I make my decisions earlier on in the week. I make transfers early. This time I'm leaving things later, making sure I've got as much information as possible, particularly with things like AFCON happening. You know, you need to be responsive and you need to be able to react to what's happening. But the biggest learning point for me has been I am a firm believer now in not doubling up defensively. I think there's been so many shock defensive clean sheets that go. And when you've got one player from those teams, that's fine. You can kind of accept it. But when you've got the double up, it really stings. So I'm all about leaving the defensive double up behind, investing the money, because we're talking about premium defenders if we're doubling up usually as well, investing that money across the rest of your team and having a really nice option in every single position so that there's always space and scope to move around when you want to.
Yeah, and that is something that also feels prominent at the moment with the way this season's been going in recent weeks. Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us. A very happy new year, a bumper episode of the podcast today, but I think a fitting way to end what's been another brilliant year of FPL in 2021. And thanks to you, listener, for listening, for sharing, reviewing, getting involved with the podcast each and every week. Don't forget your first deadline of 2022 for Game Week 21 will be 11 a.m. on 1st of January UK time. And don't forget, you do have your second wild card. It is now available if you do need it to start your year off the best way by getting those teams sorted and maybe change it up completely. Activate that wild card. As always, there's lots of other content on fantasy.premierleague.com and on the Premier League app, so do check those out. From all of us, happy new year, and despite the break for FA Cup football next week, we'll be back with you on Thursday. Bye bye.